You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Drop us all your texts, all your questions, all your voicemails. We'll be doing that on today's episode, but get those in, 331-979-1369. Matt, welcome back. Midweek here, no Bulls games, so nothing to really get our heads to explode this week. But before we get into voicemails, text messages, all of that, Matt, I watched a really good documentary last night, and I wanted to inform our listeners, too, in case you didn't see it. 30 for 30s are some of my favorite documentaries. I would expect that you appreciate 30 for 30s just as much as I do.
Oh, yeah, they're awesome, man. Did you see the one about Bob Knight, like, that came out last week? Great stuff.
That's the one that I was watching last night. I didn't get to catch the airing of it last week, so I finally caught up, watched it last night. And the storytelling in that one, if you are a basketball fan and you remember this era, so this is going to probably tailor to more of our older audience, but you probably remember the Bob Knight era and the crumbling that happened at the end. Go back and watch it. It's phenomenal reporting and the disaster and the spiral out of control that Indiana basketball was. I don't know. As somebody who graduated from the school, I was super into it, and it's an interesting story. It's a fall of one of the greatest coaches of all time, and it's a pretty sad story, honestly. But that's all I'm going to give away from it. But I loved it, and I recommend it to anybody that's a basketball fan out there.
Absolutely. And as far as recommending, you know, basketball-related content and NBA content, I don't know if you saw, but a quick shout-out to The Athletic and Ethan Strauss for the long-form piece he did following around an NBA scout that just came out this morning. It's called On the Road with an NBA Spy, The Grinding Work and Lifestyle of an Advanced Scout. It is amazing. I just read it this morning, and holy crap. If you're curious about what it means to be an NBA scout and what kind of life that is, it's a long read, but it is 100% worth it.
I'm gonna have to check that one out. I didn't even see that either. There's been a ton of really good basketball stuff going around, you know, articles and videos and documentaries. So anytime we've got any of that,
and also shout out to our friend Ricky O'Donnell yes. for his column that he wrote yesterday for SB Nation, scathing this Bulls front office. It was a very cathartic read.
That article went viral along with.
It did.
with everybody's thoughts, and like, you realize just how many people feel the same way that Ricky did, and Ricky does it best when he puts it into words. And the worst part is, you know, Ricky said it too. He's like, I used to write positive stuff about this front office and about this team, and I used to love this team. And Ricky's positive work is just as good as his negative work on the Bulls, too. So, yeah, if you haven't read that, check that out as well. But today, on today's show, let's just jump into all the voicemails, the text messages we got from this weekend. I will be completely honest with our listeners right now. There are a couple voicemails in here that are pretty depressing. we've got people on the brink of quitting their fandom as Bulls fans. But we'll get into those in the text messages and some of the tweets that we've gotten, and also an email all the way from Finland that we want to kind of touch on too. So let's dive right into that. You can do that at 331-979-1369 if you want.
Hey guys, Devin here, formerly from Connecticut, now in Brooklyn. I had to make this call, man. It's halfway through the third quarter. Cameron Payne just missed a layup. Jim Boylan's out here making five-man substitutions, and it's pretty much a 30-point game. I don't know what to do anymore, guys. It's just such a mess to watch. Geez. So what are the positives we take from a game like this? Lauri Markkanen is still looking good. I mean, he missed an easy one here and there, but I mean, I'm glad that he's back. Chris Dunn and Portis are coming back soon. That's great, but you know, it's getting harder and harder to look to the positives on games like this. So, again, thanks for the great material. See you guys next time.
All right, appreciate the call, Devin. Yeah, you kind of hit it right before the shitstorm started to fly.
Before it went from a 30-point deficit to a 56-point deficit.
I would have loved to hear Devin just follow it up with a second call about 30 minutes later that said, guys, we lost by 56. I called in and it was even worse than I thought. But yeah, I'll be completely honest with you. You take nothing away from that game. I took nothing away from it. I mean, if the starters would have been in there and they would have been getting their heads beat in, then yeah, that would have been a problem. The first quarter was a problem, but outside of that, I think it's larger scope problems than just getting your ass kicked at home by the Celtics by 56. If the starters were in there, we've said it a million times already, if the starters were in there, I don't think they lose by 56. And I hear some idiots in national radio and TV, and I got to really stop listening to these horrible takes, Matt, because I get drawn in and then my blood pressure spikes and I just want to start punching.
I don't know why you do it to yourself.
I just want to start punching.
Like, I listened to some
wall.
Of the drops you put into our episode yesterday, and I was like, oh my God, these are awful.
I mean, it was SVP and Woj and Mike Golic, who spends about 5 seconds reading his NBA news via the NBA standings. That's about, yeah, I don't know why I do it to myself, but larger scale, yeah, this, I don't know if this is rock bottom, Matt, but this feels like it, but I've said that three times, I think, since the start of this season.
And just to take a quick note on Devin's voicemail, and by the way, Devin, hope the Connecticut to Brooklyn transition worked out well for you. The thing he said about campaign, like, I know exactly what he was talking about when he said he just watched him miss a wide open layup. Like, I remember that moment vividly from that disgusting game that I tried to wipe completely from my memory. You got to wonder, we all knew that Fred Hoiberg was not a big fan of campaign. Like, that got leaked fairly quickly. And there were, you know, leaks earlier, going back to soon after the trade happened with Oklahoma City, that Bulls players at the time and people on this Bulls coaching staff became aware that Cam is not really an NBA player. So now that Boylan has taken over for Fred, how does Cam fit into this team's rotation? Boylan, especially in the game against Sacramento, tried all kinds of different stuff. But now with Chris Dunn back in the fold, and assuming that Chris Dunn does take the starting job back, with Ryan Arcidiacono there, with Shaq Harrison at your disposal to be certainly like a defense-first kind of guy whose shot has not been falling when he's gotten minutes, like, where does campaign go? Does campaign still get minutes, non-garbage time minutes in Boylan's rotation as he tries to figure things out? Because I don't know about you, Jordan, but I'm done with campaign. Anytime I see that guy check into the game, my eyes roll out of my head because we see things like that. Whether it's just gross, unnecessary turnovers, clanking threes, or you know, driving and missing a layup, or driving and missing a floater. What can Jim Boylan see as good and useful from campaign? Like, we'll see. We'll see what happens to Cam now that Dunn is back. But my God, I would not be upset at all if we never see campaign play again.
I mean, there's a difference between flying around the floor the way Ryan Arcidiacono does to try to grab balls that are running out of bounds or get steals and just giving your body up, and then there's Cameron Payne who just slips and falls and makes an embarrassment of himself. Dude, I was done with him a month ago. I was like ready to see a Ulis, and I was ready to see Archie Diacono, and I was ready to see Harrison play, and I was completely washing my hands clean of the Cameron Payne experience, and I'm still there at this point. But you're right. You're probably right. They picked up his option for next year, so he might be around. That's all I'm going to say, and that front office continuously doesn't want to make it clear that they made a mistake on that guy. So I you're right, 100% right. All right, let's get to our next set of voicemails. This is pretty funny, actually. Mike from Colorado dropped us two voicemails, one at the end of the game on Friday, and then a flip-flop in the one against the Celtics and a voicemail there. So we're going to play those back-to-back.
This is Mike from Colorado. Got to say, really like the effort that the Bulls played with tonight. Good win by them. Thank God for Laurie. Oh, my goodness. That kid is a beast. And I think him and Levine can take us pretty far. Can't wait till done and Levine get back. Go Bulls.
A few moments later.
This is Micah from Colorado. What the fuck happened in that loss tonight? This is exactly the fucking type of loss that should get Patton and Florbin fucking fired to that damn night. Cannot believe this shit. It's a horrible fucking display. At home, no less. They deserve to be booed off the floor.
Thanks, Michael, for the call. It's a tale of two nights of watching Bulls basketball, right? Like, this has been the last 2 years, and I think it hasn't gotten any more polarizing than it did with a Friday night game winner and then a 56-point franchise-losing loss at home against the Boston Celtics the following night.
I mean, yikes.
That's all I gotta say. I feel your pain, and I feel how angry you were after that game too. And I was just, I don't know, on top of what happened on the floor, it just, you add everything else to it, the boiling comments and all the stupid shit that went around it. Like, you add that all together, and I can understand why people are calling us and saying, you know what, I think I'm done watching this team for the rest of the year. Like, it's gotten to that point. So, I mean, you're hearing it firsthand here from people who are reacting right after games. And so thanks for the call, though. I can feel your pain, though. The Lowry game was cool. It was a good effort by the Bulls to beat a really, really, really good team in this league so far this season. And then they turned it around with one of the most embarrassing efforts in recent history.
Yeah, talk about highest high to lowest low. I mean, that really was, in the span of just over 24 hours, you saw the potential of what could be for this Bulls team with Markkanen back in the fold, and Markkanen hitting a game-winning shot, and Levine pouring in 25 points, and, you know, the things that they did to actually win a close game against a good opponent. It was such an uplifting Friday last weekend, and then to follow it with that dud, and the fact that the 56-point loss, and you and I have talked about it, Jordan, that's like, it's on the players for the fact that they came out slow and sluggish and built themselves such a huge hole. But the fact that it ballooned from like a 20 to 30 point loss to a 56 point loss is definitely on Boylan for his decisions he made in the second half. But the fact that it, like, people don't just look, scan through box scores and say, oh, the Celtics beat the Bulls by 56. When you see 56, you do a double take and you say, wait, what? An NBA team lost by 56? And because of that, This embarrassing highest high to lowest low got all kinds of media attention nationally. And then to follow that 56-point loss up with what happened on Sunday with the near-team mutiny and all of that and the practice that never was and the players-only meeting, following up such an embarrassing one-sided loss, like, now, like, nobody really paid attention to the fact that the Bulls beat the Thunder, right? That was just like, oh, wow, hey, cool, a bad team upset a pretty good team. But that, you know, bad news travels faster than good news. And it works the same in the NBA and on NBA social media. So nobody cares that the Bulls beat the Thunder. As soon as the Bulls were down big at halftime the following night, that was the story. And, of course, that story continued to unfold the way it did. So now, because of that, the Bulls are the laughingstock of the NBA once more.
Andrew Sharp from Sports Illustrated brought up a good point. He wrote an article about the Suns and the Bulls and kind of intertwined both of the madness that's been going on and the awful rebuilding tactics both these teams have and seem like to being in the dumpster fire and embarrassment of the NBA. And he mentioned, he's like, you know, the good thing about being one of the worst teams and worst franchises in the NBA is usually the four or five teams that sit at the bottom of there after about 2 weeks, it blows over because another one of those teams will try to one-up you. And that's, I mean, that is the most true statement I've ever heard in my entire life. It is. Listen, go back to Bobby Portis and Nico's fight. Like, that lasted about three weeks, like, as far as national news goes, and then it followed up with other teams just doing embarrassing things, and people kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, I noted that column in my rant yesterday or the day before. So it is Andrew Sharp of SI.
Correct, yes.
Okay, yeah, because I guess I was trying to remember the name on the column, you know, byline when I read that, and I was like, Andrew Sharp. No, that can't be right. That's a hockey player. And then I was like, wait, no, I think I'm getting confused. The fact that Andrew Shaw and Patrick Sharp are two former Blackhawks players, and that's why I was getting confused. Yeah, no, it was a good column, certainly at the Bulls' expense, and certainly ownership. Which, by the way, Jordan, did you see that piece that Paul Sullivan did for the Trip this morning?
Oh, I did.
About
not.
Jerry Reinsdorf and how busy he is right now
headline.
This week,
or the tweet?
Yeah, it was like, oh my God, he's talking about, you know, trying to go after Bryce Harper in these MLB winter meetings, and then also, you know, overseeing the near mutiny and getting a control of his NBA team simultaneously. I was like, you got to be kidding me! This is laughable. There weren't even any quotes from Reinsdorf in there. Clearly, Jerry Reinsdorf, with the winter meetings and what he's trying to get done with the Sox, does not give a flying fuck about what's going on with the Bulls right now.
Yeah, and he's got his, I mean, Michael Reinsdorf probably called up Jerry West in the last 48 hours to ask him what he should be doing.
Well, first of all, when I talked to Jerry West, it was...
Sorry, Michael, I'm busy running my own NBA team right
now.
Yeah,
sorry, I want nothing to do with that dumpster fire that continues to get engulfed, so I'm out. That would be Jerry West's call, and then be like, I gotta go. Sorry, Michael. I'll call you later. All right, let's get to some text messages here. This one comes from the 708. Says, this message is from your loyal Locked On Bulls listener, Jay. Hey, thanks for listening. I know I may be jumping the gun because Boylan is set to coach the Bulls at least through the 2019-2020 season, but I heard Jalen Rose choose our next coach, and I kind of like his suggestion. By the way, we've had about 7 or 8 people tweet at us this, so wrapping everybody that tweeted the same question to us, thank you for bringing it up because we haven't yet. But I continue. What do you guys think about Juwan Howard as the next head coach of the Chicago Bulls? Of course, the front office will always be shit, but if by some chance the Reinsdorfs can come to their senses and fire Garpax, who would be the top candidate to replace them? Just want to get your thoughts, especially Matt's, because I never agree with you, but you always have a small point with your madness. Signing off, Jay. So, Matt, I'm going to let you go
okay.
after this one first.
Well, always nice to hear from Bulls fans whose opinions differ from mine, even though I, as you know, never like to admit when I'm wrong, because I rarely am. But look, the idea of Juwan Howard as a head coach that Jalen Rose brought up, yeah, obviously a lot of people have been talking about that. As far as when the Reinsdorfs come to their senses and fire Foreman and Paxson, and top candidates to replace them, look, it's a moot point. It is completely 100% a moot point. The only way that Paxson is gone is if he fires himself, a.k.a. resigns. The Reinsdorfs, Jerry and Michael both, are so comfortable with Paxson having been with this organization for so long and are so loyal to Paxson that is the only way this changes. If Paxson comes to them and says, I don't want to do this anymore. Truly, that is the only thing. And when Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, goes to pasture, and Michael goes from not only being the guy actually running the team and the president, but also the primary owner, because his father's just a figurehead at this point, I still don't see that changing. And I honestly don't see Michael Reinsdorf deciding to sell. I really don't. As far as the Jalen Rose idea of Juwan Howard as a coach, it's an interesting one. He certainly has at least a little bit of a resume serving as an assistant coach for the Miami Heat over all of these years, including, you know, serving as an assistant coach for those Wade and LeBron Heat teams that won some titles. I don't know if he's ready to get his first shot at a head coaching spot. And there are certainly plenty of other people that I might be more interested to call up first. I will tell you that I'm not a fan of the Mark Jackson idea. I think, you know, he's a great and fun broadcaster and color commentary guy for NBA broadcasts. And he was, you know, an interesting experiment for the Warriors before Steve Kerr took over. But based on what I've read about him and what I just observed from him as an in-game coach, he's more of a rah-rah guy and not really a great schematic, strategic NBA coach. I think he's lacking in that department. Jordan, you and I have both voiced our opinion that it would be awesome if the Bulls were the first team to give Becky Hammon a crack at a head coaching spot. I would certainly be okay with that. As to Jay's point that it seems like at least through the 1920 season, the Bulls are sticking with Boylan. Look, Jordan, you and I talked about this earlier, soon after Boylan took over. And yes, there's the whole, do they really want to pay Boylan's near $1 million contract next season and Hoiberg's $5 million next season to both not coach so that they can hire a third different person? But honestly, if the Bulls, as much as they are vocally supporting Boylan right now, the Paxson and the Reinsdorfs, who do have, you know, are fully supporting Boylan right now, I told you, like, there was no guarantee from Paxson. He chose his words carefully and said, we very much want Boylan to earn this job. We're giving Boylan every opportunity to earn this job, and we want Boylan to be our head coach moving forward. Those are wants and wishes and hopes. He never promised anything to Jim Boylan. So if the Boylan experiment doesn't work and his players don't buy into his brash, rough around the edges, we're going to drill you and I'm going to drill you like a drill sergeant demeanor and style, I still think, you know, paying three coaches be damned, they could make a change this offseason if they want.
I mean, if they really make another head coaching change, somebody in that front office has to be fired. Like, I mean, I know we say it a million different times now, but what is so surprising to me is that in about 2 weeks, when everything starts to settle a little bit, I mean, barring any other crazy ass news that we get from this team, everything settles down a little bit. People are going to start going on with their days. Forget about this Chicago Bulls team. It's the same cycle we go through almost every year. I feel like we've been on this cycle for 5 years, like consistently, where we've had a national story that's just been completely embarrassing. And every single one of those times we've asked, is this the time the front office is going to be held responsible? No. Is this the time? No. Is this the time? No. And even after this weekend, which could go down as one of the more embarrassing weekends for the Chicago Bulls in history, and they're still going to survive that. I don't know. I don't even want to discuss who would be possible replacements because I am so confident that neither of them are going to get fired. So I think it's a waste of time to discuss front office replacements at this point. But to go back to the head coaching positions, Juwan Howard's not bad. I would be open to the idea that Chicago guy was a top five pick in 94. He's played in the league for damn near 20 years, was on the bench like you had mentioned with Eric Spoelstra in the Miami Heat till this day. Two other names that I kind of tossed around the idea, Jerry Stackhouse is one of them. He has had a ton of success in the G League already, kind of working his way up. So he would be a guy that I would at least like him to get in the room and have an interview if they're actually going to do a coaching search. And one last one would be Monty Williams. Monty Williams has been a name that a lot of people have been throwing around there. You know, his USA basketball connections, his player relations are really good. So at least he's got some connections with some stars. I don't know too much about his actual X's and O's game and how he runs and what his styles are, but those are some other names that I'd like to see get an opportunity to at least get an interview if they're going to move on from Boylan. But like, again, I said, Matt, even if things don't progress fast till the end of the season, I still think Boylan's going to be here till his tenure's up in 2019-2020.
Yeah. To that end, here's another text message from the 815. Hey guys, my question is about the likelihood of Reinsdorf deciding to finally cut Garpax off. I'm thinking maybe all this awful press surrounding the organization makes him look so bad that he gives up and cleans house. Or would it have to be until empty seats are everywhere in the UC? To me, the change has to come from the top. No free agent will ever come here again until Garpax are far away, regardless of players and coaching staff. Thanks for checking in. I think this texter makes plenty of good points about free agents not wanting to come here. change having to come from the top. I think we all agree on that. Certainly also the what's it going to take? It's the empty seats thing. The Bulls, as the third largest market team in the league and a brand that is global, are always profitable. Hugely profitable company, Chicago Bulls franchise. Until they start actually losing money and having no shows, the Bulls, at whatever they are, 6-22, are still second in the league in recorded attendance this season. Second! So for all the talk about, you know, Bulls fans, we need to stop giving this team money. We need to stop going to games. We need to stop buying jerseys and all that stuff. It's still, you know, you see more scattered empty seats this season, but tickets sold are tickets sold. Like, you know, tickets sold is one thing and empty seats is another. Until both of those things start to take real hits, there's no change because, as we were talking about, the Reinsdorf are so loyal to Paxson. They don't ever evaluate him as a guy who is doing his job well or doing his job poorly. They just let him run the team. Consequences be damned. Like that, I mean, honestly, Jordan, talking about like the, and this texter asking like the awful press surrounding what's happened over the past few days, like that, is that the final straw? Let's journey back to whatever it was, 2009 or so, when John Paxson got in a physical altercation with their head coach, Vinny Del Negro, like literally went to fisticuffs on Bulls property. And they got rid of Vinny, and they kept John. Now, the NBA 24/7 coverage of social media and Twitter and all that isn't quite what it was back then, even 8 years ago, compared to what it is now. But even still, that story certainly got leaked. That story got written about. So if you're not going to fire your front office exec for the bad press of getting into an altercation with your head coach, a physical altercation, you know, what's a 56-point loss and some players threatening to mutiny? Honestly, it's nothing.
Exactly. And what's a 56-point loss when, like you had mentioned, on average attendance, 20,000 people are showing up to the United Center, second most in attendance. I mean, out of the top five, they're the only team that has under 100% attendance for their home games. But yeah, that's the only thing that's going to change is they still see jerseys fly off the shelves. They still see people show up to Bulls games. So that's what's going to happen. And you're right. The United Center has looked empty. It has looked more empty than it has over the last couple of weeks. You know, as far as the last year, people were at least still showing up to important games to watch this young core. I mean, you go back even a couple of years, people were still showing up. But now, those season tickets, those single game tickets are already sold. So they play those play into a factor and not tickets who what are scanned at the door. So it's got to hurt their pocket and their bottom line. And like you had mentioned, Matt, the Jerry Reinsdorf article that was in the Trib, like he could give a shit less about what's going on with this Bulls team right now because they're not important. They're in a rebuild and they're not ready to spend money or do any of that to make this team competitive because guess what? Paxson and Foreman and Boylan and Hoiberg didn't show Reinsdorf, either one of them, any reason why this team should have money spent on them. And that's mostly Reinsdorf's fault for keeping all of these guys employed for this long. But that's been the Jerry Reinsdorf thing his entire year. His entire career as an owner.
I mean, it's
he's loyal to a fault.
Go back and reread the statement that Reinsdorf released when explaining the firing for Tom Thibodeau, which was unnecessarily harsh. As they kick Tibbs out of town. And what was it about? It was about building the right culture. And you hear Paxson talking about building the right culture. He even referenced that kind of shit when he was talking about why they fired Fred a couple weeks ago. And, you know, God bless Ricky, whose column from yesterday that we mentioned already. There was a great paragraph in there talking about Bulls culture and what they try to tell us that it is and what it really is. And, you know, Bulls culture is Paxson punching Vinny Del Negro. Or choking Vinny Del Negro. Bulls culture is two teammates getting into a fight at practice and blaming the victim. Bulls culture is not having anyone want to come here because there are leaks in, you know, in your front office and your coaching staff that report up the ladder and spy on their players. Like the Bulls culture thing that Paxson always wants to talk about and Jerry talked about when firing Tibbs is a joke. And that, going back to our texter at the 815, is very much so why. It's, you know, yes, it is the guys running this team as VP and GM in Paxson and Foreman, the culture as to why no free agents want to come here. Everybody knows that this team is a laughing stock, and we got a fresh, nasty whiff of it with the stuff that happened over the weekend.
Yeah, if you've got the garbage-ass Kings making fun of you on your own home floor, you best believe every NBA player that is of any relevance knows what's going on in the city of Chicago right now. So, I mean, the only saving grace would be by some miracle you don't piss off Zach LaVine to the point where he requests trades. Like, that's a serious case too, Matt. Like, if him and Boylan don't start getting along, I would not be surprised if something, if that started to be a conversation to be had. Because Zach LaVine looks physically, emotionally frustrated with this team. And it sounds like he's trying his best to merge the relationships between the players and Jim Boylan. And they made this quote-unquote leadership team. And I can't believe it's taken us almost 25, 30 minutes to talk about this leadership committee that they've formed. But, I mean, that's a joke, too. Like, we talked about it in the summer, Matt. Leadership comes naturally. It does. It comes naturally, and you look for those qualities in these guys, but ultimately, it's got to come naturally. And forming a leadership committee, maybe that works. Maybe it does. I don't know. But forcing leadership and trying to cram it into this middle schoolish, high schoolish type of environment, I just don't see it working with young professionals. Don't see it for guys that are making millions of dollars.
That's the hilarious thing about this whole leadership committee, which I don't think we touched on yesterday because it was kind of coming out right as we were recording. I mean, I kind of had a tweet about that yesterday. Like, forming a leadership committee, like, are you freaking kidding me? Boylan in the quotes talking about how we've come to the agreement to have a leadership committee was immediately backtracking on his "I'm the dictator, this is non-negotiable, you know, I'm the captain now" BS, and said, well, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm still the coach and they're the players and that's how this works, but, you know, they're grown men, they're professionals, and they have a right to a voice. And I just laughed my ass off when I read that. So, oh, okay, well, now I want to give these guys a little bit of respect after treating them like children, so we're going to form a leadership committee. And it's like, okay, whose turn is it to bring the cookies and the orange juice to our little leadership committee meeting that we're having today? It's still treating them like children. It just has different dressings on it. It's laughable. And to your point about Zach LaVine, who will be the primary leader of this leadership committee, look, I'm not reporting this, and this hasn't been reported from any of the guys or any of the men or women following this team on a daily basis from the beat. But what I have heard through a couple of different back channels is that when it came time to the front office joined in after the players had their players-only meeting and then the players had a meeting with the coaches and the front office was there, Zach LaVine was very heated and had a very heated comment or two aimed at the members of this front office, saying things like, if y'all are questioning my toughness and you don't think I'm tough and you don't think I'm out there doing everything I can, working hard to get this team W's, then why did you match the contract that Sacramento offered? Why do you want me here? If you're going to question my toughness and don't think I'm tough enough, then why did you pay to keep me here? And that was a very hot moment of those meetings that took place. So if that is true, and I'm saying I've heard this through a couple of different back channels, but if that is true, does making him the figurehead of some BS leadership committee make Zach LaVine feel any better about what his role is on this team and whether or not these players actually do have a voice? I don't know about that.
It doesn't do shit. I mean, you like you said, you can dress it up any way you want it, but it's the same shit. The guys are going to be tired of being treated like children. And it worked in small doses with Bad Cop, Good Cop with him and Hoiberg, and that was almost the perfect tandem, right? Is make Boylan yell and scream and do all those things that Fred can't do and maybe doesn't necessarily want to do, and Fred will play good cop. But the dictatorship, like you had kind of mentioned in you know, Zach's quotes about that too, I thought were strong as well. Like, this isn't a dictatorship. We're all professionals here, man. We all have to have a voice in this, and it's not Iron Fist mentality. And I completely agree with Zach LaVine and all these idiots out there that want to go on national radio and just scream and yell that, oh, you're sad because they're doing push-ups and, oh, don't yell at me and all of this. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. Like, come on, man. Like, if you were treated bad, like, I'm still pissed off about that Mike Golic comment. Like, I really am. If he goes back to when he was 25 and playing in the NFL and somebody treated him like he was in middle school, I can guarantee he wasn't going to sit there and take it. So don't give me that BS about, oh, guys are getting worked too hard. And do a little bit of research first before you have terrible takes. That's all I'll say. But going back to the leadership committee, I think it's a joke too. So we'll find out.
Yeah, of course it is. It's not going to change anything.
All right, let's wrap up with a couple more voicemails here. You can do that at 331-979-1369. Want to join the conversation, drop us a text message or a voicemail.
Hey, guys, love the show. I wanted to call, and this is the first time I've ever called here, and I just had to piggyback on your first podcast that you were talking about the dysfunction of the Chicago Bulls organization. I really, really must stress it. We, as the fans, we really need to start not going to these games because, like you said, it's been over a decade since we've been relevant, really. I count the years when we had Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah when we made those runs in the finals, you know, trying to the conference finals, trying to make it, et cetera. But also that year, we had a chance that, you know, bringing LeBron and Dwayne and possibly Bosh over here with us. But the difference was they chose Miami because, one, you know, the organization there looked more professional, and, two, they had Pat Riley. We got John Paxson Gar. And for some reason, I don't even know what the hell Gar really does. Like, he really just seems like he's just a figurehead. And, you know, he's there to hold a position to say something. Or who knows? But, I mean, this guy, I'm, like, fed up past my head with the lackadaisicalness of this whole organization, because we're better. We're better than that. You know, we can't live off the dream of the 90s Bulls forever. You know, eventually that fades. I mean, look at the Celtics organization. They've won and at least got another championship since they've been relevant. The Lakers, we don't even have to go down that route. Even with Kobe Bryant, who wanted to play here at one point in time, we probably would have ran him out of town. So, I mean, this organization is just, we as fans, we have to stop paying our good earned money to go see this game. I get that we're going to have people coming out of town to see this team. That's fine. That's fine. But us who live here, that's really where they're getting that money from. We stop going to the games, I guarantee you they'll start making changes. When you lose money, then you have to make the money back. If you're going to make the money, you need the fans. They need us. So we as fans need to stick together and not go see these games. When they become good, fine. We'll go and see them. And it sucks because the players do work hard, but it's just like working in a bad working environment. It's toxic. It's hard to win like that. So, you know, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my voicemail. Just, you know, give me a little bit of feedback what you think.
Wow. I'm giving our first-time caller a standing ovation because that sums up, I think, one of the most intelligent calls we've had. Like, we've said that multiple times, but now it's starting coming to light. Like, all of these people texting us, calling us, tweeting us are saying that. Like, the same point. We've got to stop going to games. And isn't that the saddest shit in the world? Isn't it? There are so many fans out here that want to cheer for this team and want to be diehard fans, but at the same time, you know, you just get played every single time. You just get played every single time. It's like the crush that you've had forever and, you know, constantly being in friend zoned with them and then just get screwed over. You know, get to a point where you think that things are going to go well, and maybe we can take that next step in our relationship, and maybe we can go from just being friends to actually being in a relationship. And then it's the saddest shit in the world when we sit here and we all really want to be fans, and yet because of the way this is operated like a business instead of caring about what should be deserving of the most attention, and that's the people that support you every single day, and that's the fans. And I think Jerry Reinsdorf, on through Michael Reinsdorf, through John Paxson, through Gar Foreman, through all the coaches that have come through here, they've failed. They've failed miserably, and they've lost sight of who this is really about. The franchise should be about winning, and it should be about the fans that care, and it should be about the players, not these assholes in the front office who have too big of a heads to realize and admit when they make mistakes. It's just tiring, but thank God that somebody else has jumped in on this voicemail, and thanks for dropping it, because that just, it's so sad. It honestly is so sad.
And you wonder, like, I agree with this caller. I think he brought up a lot of good points, and I certainly share his sentiment. You wonder when that will happen, as far as this team actually losing the fan base so much so that they start losing money. Because it'll be hard to get to that point. And, you know, you and I hosting a five times a week Bulls podcast where we can all come and share our grievances and also try and feel optimistic about the future of this organization and talk about the development of the young players and whether or not we buy into this core and what happens from here. And we can have callers say we all need to come together as fans and stop letting the front office and the ownership group of this organization walk all over us and take advantage of us. And that's all well and good. But when will it actually happen? We've seen slight declines in Bulls merch sales over the past couple of years. We have seen a little bit of a dip in visible attendance, but the actual record attendance is still there, which means they're still collecting all of their money. TV ratings for the Bulls have certainly taken a little bit of a dip in recent years, but enough of a dip for Reinsdorf to care or notice? And that's the thing that this caller said towards the beginning of their rant about the, you know, how long will the Jordan years dynasty continue to just keep this organization, this ownership group, and this front office afloat? The answer is sadly, based on what we know and the previous evidence, forever. John Paxson can laugh as he makes his rounds of Chicago sports radio shows talking about how he doesn't care that the fan base has lost faith in him and his counterpoint, Gar Foreman, because he's cashing checks. The Jordan years are still cashing checks, whether it be still having faith in John Paxson to run this team or whether it be Bulls fans still showing up and spending money at the United Center and Bulls fans all over the world still showing up and buying Bulls merch. The Jordan dynasty created probably what is one of the biggest and best fan bases in the world. And it's still cashing checks. Hasn't changed. I don't see it changing. Sadly, it sucks. I don't see it changing.
We're always stuck in the friend zone. That's where we are as fans. You know, we're always going to be stuck there with this front office. We're always in the friend zone. And the minute that you feel like you can go back, you get backstabbed and backstabbed again and backstabbed again.
And honestly, like, the fan base has tried, right? The fan base has tried to send a message. The billboard. Even, like, a year before that, when that group got together and made Fire Gar Pax t-shirts to all wear at the United Center for the same nationally televised home game. And guess what? Like, they barely even were noticeable on TV. They didn't even talk about it. It got a little bit of a blip in the, you know, the daily news coverage. But, you know, fans can only do so much. Honestly, you know, there was somebody, I think, who was texting us today, or maybe it was a comment on Twitter earlier this morning, talking about, like, when is the day that fans actually, like, show up torches and pitchfork style outside the United Center? Like, when do fans actually create a political protest level and sized protest outside of the doors of this place with pickets and megaphones and the whole nine yards to say, you know what, we're done. We're, you know, we're going to stand outside the United Center, march around, calling for the removal of these people. Demand that the Reinsdorf sell the team and that the new owners immediately fire and replace this front office. Or at the very least, demand that the Reinsdorfs finally wipe away this front office that has failed us time and again. Something like something to that magnitude and scope hasn't happened yet. And honestly, if it did, I don't really think it would change anything. That's the sad part. It's like, unless the fans have an ownership stake in the company, a la the Green Bay Packers, there is nothing we can do. Sadly, there is nothing we
Sucks.
Can do.
My two favorite teams ever are both owned by the same owner. And I can only imagine, what it's going to say about the Bulls should the Sox end up signing Harper or Machado and spending all of that money. And look, I'll be happy as a Sox fan, but it sucks as a Bulls fan too, because then you realize where the real attention, the real money is being pushed. And that's to the other team that he owns. So I don't know. It sucks because I hate saying that to fans. Like, I hate saying don't go to games and don't support the players, because he makes a good point too. He
right.
said, you know, it sucks because these players work their ass off to put a good product on the
yeah.
floor and to be those guys. And they get stabbed in the back too. You know, it's not just the fans, it's the players too. And the coaches too.
Right.
So
and it goes back to what you were saying, Jordan. Like, you want to believe, right? We want to believe in these young players. We want to believe in the rebuild. You know, when you're in the friend zone, you want to believe that there's that chance that things could progress and something could happen. And that's why it tears you apart as a fan, because you know that we're getting the runaround from the people in charge and they do not care about our feelings at all. They don't. They see us as bags of money and not as fans who put their blood, sweat, and tears into following this team. Not to mention their dollars into following this team. And it sucks, because we want to believe and we want to feel good about this team. And you can't do that, and you can't say, I want to go to the United Center tonight and I want to watch Markkanen play and Wendell play and Zach LaVine play, because you're putting pockets in the money of the people who are just perpetuating the same BS.
Hey guys, just wanted to inform you that I'm quitting. I'm no longer going to be a Bulls fan. Not after all this whole horseshit. Sorry for swearing. I'm done. Unless they fire Paxton and Foreman. Unless Reinsdorf sells the team. Whatever. I'm done. Don't worry. I'll still listen to this podcast. I'll still follow the Bulls. You know, you can go on YouTube and you can type in full game highlights and you get a 10-minute pack of an entire game, and I'll still follow the Bulls that way, but I'm done watching any Bulls thing on TV. I'm done supporting the team that way. I'm done going to games. And I won't even listen to a Bulls-sponsored podcast. But I'll still listen to Locked On, NBA, and all that other stuff. I'm just going to become a Jazz fan. I wanted the Bulls to take Donovan Mitchell last season, although I actually kind of didn't want them to, because I was worried they'd screw up the pick that way. They probably would sit him in favor of Zach LaVine this season, knowing them. But I'm done. It's what it is. I'm done. I'm done with the Bulls. All right. So long. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for the call. Hey, I mean, I hate that we followed up two of those from not going to games to completely quitting your fandom of this team. And he didn't say completely, but he's not going to support anything that is backed by the Bulls specifically. I mean, I can't blame you. I can't blame you if you don't want to tune into a game where you have to watch Cameron Payne play 29 minutes when you're fully healthy. Like, I can't blame you for that. I can't blame you for not wanting to watch a team that has Cristiano Felicio making $32 million. So, I understand where you're coming from, man, and I get it, but don't be that depressed. Like, stay here with us, we're all going to try to grind through this as a fan base, and we should, because I think as small and as far away as that light is at the end of the tunnel, there is still just a little bit of a glimmer, even though if it looks like a star in the sky, it's still there. And I'm hoping that that talent plays out. That's what we have to hope for as a fan base, that the talent that the roster has right now and what they could potentially get with that next pick that they have coming up, that talent plays out. Because that's the only way we're getting back to relevancy. If none of the guys on this team play out, then we're going to be stuck here for a lot longer than I think a lot of the fans thought we were going to when we initially started this rebuild. Oh,
man, I feel so bad for this caller, and I have been this caller so many times in my life. Like, I get it. The thing that kills me is that he's talking about resigning himself to being a Jazz fan now. Like, really? The Jazz?
Yeah,
like,
don't do that.
I get
that
you like Donovan Mitchell, whatever, but if you wanted to defect from the Bulls and if you're like a Chicago, maybe our caller isn't from Chicago originally, but just someone who, you know, is a Bulls fan for one other reason or Jordan era or whatever. If you're a Chicago native and you're ready to quit on these Bulls, heck, go to Chicago North and root for the Greek Freak and the Bucks, who are actually, like, good. The Jazz are struggling in what is a very deep Western Conference right now. The Bucks could be rivaling Toronto and Boston for being the best team in the Eastern Conference. If I were to finally, after 30 years of being a Bulls fan, throw in the towel, I would be a Bucks fan. Are you kidding me? Go to games, just a quick drive or a quick train ride up north to Milwaukee. They got that great new stadium up there and one of the most exciting players in the league right now. So, you know, that's my two cents on that. And also, to our caller, I hate to hear Bulls fans this depressed. If you happen to be a Chicago resident, hit us up. Let's go get a beer, right? Jordan and I, we can meet up with you. We can talk you through your depression. This Bulls voicemail and text line that is about giving our Bulls takes, we can also use it as a support system, right? We can use it as a self-help line. So if you really need to be dragged out of the gutter, and this caller sounds just so depressed, and I'm telling you, I've been there, man. Let's be there for one another. If you see a fellow Bulls fan walking down the street, give him a smile, say hello, strike up a conversation that maybe doesn't have to do at all with our team that we are so rattled by right now and disappointed in. It's, you know, this is a time when Bulls fans need to come together, and I know it's hard. And I know that it seems like, you know, there's no light, as Jordan said, darkest before the dawn, all that. I don't know if the dawn is coming. I really don't. But, and again, I'm kind of like preaching to myself here in addition to this caller, because I am so guilty of this. But try not to let your intense fandom bring you down as just an emotional human being. I let sports, and particularly our Chicago Bulls, control my emotions on such an intense level. Sometimes I have to check myself out of it, because it really is not mentally healthy to be this invested in something that is going so horribly wrong.
Spend all your time on Twitter, so, too. That's not a good place either.
Oh,
and we do.
We do, Jordan. You and I are on Bulls Twitter 24/7, and it is not a healthy thing. So, hey, whether it's this caller, whether it's anybody else, you know, let's get together. Let's get together, have a beer, talk through our feelings, and then talk about something not about the Bulls, because I feel like fans need that right now.
Hey, Bulls Nation. This is Greg in Orlando, diehard Bulls fan, avid listener of the podcast. I just want to give my two cents on the team right now as it stands after the Kings game. Never in my life as a Bulls fan have I felt, you know, this deflated. I've been a Bulls fan since Jordan, since I was a kid, and, you know, loved watching the Rose era. And I didn't even really watch when Wade was playing, but now, man, I started watching again. And I, at this point, after 25 games, you know, I am just feeling so, the word is deflated. And I don't really know, you know, I don't know where that light is anymore. It's getting harder and harder to see it all the time, and which direction this Bulls team is going to go, and who to build around and who the leader is, like you guys always mentioned. But, you know, but I like to say I still have high hopes. I'll never give up on this team. And I'm hoping, you know, marketing and Dunn come out of this slump, and who knows, maybe we even have a shot at winning some games here this season. You know, I'm never one to cheer for the tank, but anyway, for fear of being long-winded, I'm gonna resign But just wanted to say that, and go Bulls. Bye.
All right, thanks for the call, Greg. I mean, you're following up back-to-back voicemails that feel the same sentiment as you do, and we kind of talked about that light at the end of the tunnel. Where is that? I still believe that it's talent that's going to play out. Like, man, I don't give up on Wendell Carter Jr., Lauri Markkanen, or Zach LaVine just yet. We haven't seen them play hardly at all together, at all. So I'm ready to see talent play out over all of this other nonsense BS that always swirls around this team. So I'm with Greg, man. I want to believe in this team too, and I want to believe the players. So I'm crossing my fingers that talent will play out.
Yeah, you want to believe in that talent. I loved this call from Greg, and thanks for checking in, buddy. Because clearly, like, he nailed it. The word deflated is so perfectly describing how it feels to be a Bulls fan right now, and like kind of how I was feeling after that Kings game, and talking on yesterday's pod about that Kings game. I was like, man, I feel so deflated. Deflated is the perfect word, and it's hard to remain optimistic and remain hopeful when you feel as deflated as Greg feels and as deflated as we feel right now. But I love that Greg said he will never give up on this team, because, you know, as bad as it gets, and as much as we were talking earlier about, like, you know, we got to hit this team where it hurts, and we got to hit the Reinsdorfs in their money pockets. It's so hard, right? That's why we're saying it's so hard, because we care so much about this team. And I love that Greg said he'll never give up. And it's kind of like you were talking about earlier, Jordan, to go back to the friend zone comparison and wanting to believe in this young talent and wanting to believe that things can get better and things can happen. It's like the Booze Cruise episode of The Office, where Jim, you know, maybe stupidly admits his feelings for Pam to Michael, and you know, and Jim's languishing in the friend zone, and say, oh, well, you know, like, she's engaged to this other guy, and Michael said, BFD, engaged, ain't married. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. It was one of the most earnest and heartwarming moments that we had gotten of the Michael character. If you're an Office watcher, through the first, you know, season and a half of that show. Because mostly he just says and does stupid things to make your skin crawl. But in that moment, you felt what Michael was telling Jim. And you felt that he believed it. And it was the best advice that Jim got throughout that show. Because it was someone telling him, hey man, you might be in the friend zone right now, but don't give up. Like, don't give up. Giving up is the worst thing anyone can ever do. So our caller from before who's saying, you know, I'm done. I'm done watching this team. I can't do it to myself anymore. It drives me crazy. I get that sentiment. But you have to fight it. You have to fight it, and you have to not give up. I mean, it's your call, Bulls Nation. If you want to give up, who am I and who is Jordan to say shame on you for giving up? Fandom is fandom, man. But I love that Greg is saying don't give up. Because I don't know about you, Jordan. I'm not giving up. I'll never give up.
Yeah, I'm not ready to give up yet. I mean, even through all of this, through this entire shitstorm, and even going back to, like, Butler and Wade, and even before that, like, there's incidences where a lot of Bulls fans could have just given it up, and I agree with you, 100%. And there's a lot of fans that listen to this show and interact with us and interact with the Bulls on a daily basis that don't want to do that. They don't want to give up, but they need something to make them believe, right? And I don't know if that's the players. I don't know if that's just not being lied to. But that's the biggest thing. I just go back to that, Matt. Is just being fed bullshit. Like, we're stupid. Like, I hate that. I hate that. And that's what this team does to us. They lie. And they feed us stuff that isn't true. And isn't in the direction that they want to go. They say one thing, they go the other way. They do one thing, they do the other. I mean, that's where I'm at. I don't want to be lied to anymore. And I thought they were on a path of not doing that. Since the rebuild, they were pretty damn transparent with us. And then all of a sudden, one incident happens, they face a little bit of adversity, and all of a sudden everybody scatters to the back. And all of a sudden it's Paxson going up there and feeding us a bunch of BS again. He was finally getting to a point where he was actually being transparent with this fan base.
Yeah.
And then it's now disappeared. It's disappeared.
And I've, you know, to that end, and we should wrap up because we're getting close to an hour here. It's funny how that happens when we just take some mailbag from our fellow fans and start talking. But I've heard a lot of Bulls fans on Twitter or, you know, in various realms over the past few days say, like, why haven't we heard from the front office after something as disastrous as a near player mutiny? Like, why hasn't Paxson come out to address what happened with the brand new head coach already losing control of the locker room? Shouldn't we be hearing from the front office? And my response to that would be like, yeah, okay, maybe the front office does owe us an explanation here as to what happened and giving us another vote of confidence from their head coach that they just picked to replace Fred. But really, like, do you really think we'd hear anything different? Do you think we'd hear anything other than BS spin from Paxson about how Boylan has the full support of ownership and the front office and trying to make some BS spin about what happened Saturday night and Sunday morning being a good thing? Because that's essentially those beat reporters who, you know, try to take the positive spin and were willing to quote those positive spin quotes. That's what we heard. So you know that's exactly what you would have heard from Paxson if he were to step up to the mic and speak after something as disastrous as that. We're seeing this as a good thing. People air their grievances. We're all on the same page now. Jim Boylan's, he's stoked. He's jacked up about it, right? That's the phrase he used. I'm jacked up about it. It's a positive spin. That's all we would have heard if we heard from Paxson after what happened. So, yeah, I mean, that's where I am right now. It's like Bulls fans are like, why? This is embarrassing. We're the laughingstock of the NBA, and our front office is nowhere to be found. What do you think? Do you expect to hear anything different from them? It's just like you were saying, Jordan. We get fed the same BS on a daily basis. Why expect any different?
I mean, I did make the point, too, that I was mad that all of a sudden it's convenient that neither of them come out to talk. Paxson, Reinsdorf, Foreman. Oh, they wanted to glow and go on every radio station at the beginning of the season, though. When everything was fine, hold a press conference during the second round of the draft because we were so excited. Now, there's an issue.
Because they're so excited and because, you know, they didn't have a second-round pick.
Yeah, because that's another issue that's going to make me drive my head through the
wall.
And,
you know, if they did, they probably would have sold it because they didn't have anybody on their draft board at 34.
the last second-round pick they've drafted is Paul Zipser. You know how well that went.
Shout out to the Cash Considerations podcast.
By the way, if you can, if anybody can get a Paul Zipser who were high on sign on TV at one of the Bulls games.
Paul Zipser who were high on.
On any of the TVs, we will send you something.
Where's Paul Zipser, Gar? Where's Paul Zipser, Gar?
If you can put Paul Zipser who were high on, if you're going to any of the games in the next couple of weeks, if you can get it on TV, I've got a reward for you. So that's my final wrap up here is I've got for you if you can get that on TV. A sign that says Paul Zipser, who we're high on, and then Locked On Bulls.
I want to yell in Gar's face, hey, Gar, where's Zipser? Where's Zipser, Gar? just like D'Angelo from The Wire yelling, where's Wallace? It's Stringer Bell. String, where's Wallace, yo? Hey, Gar, where's Zipser, yo?
Huh? String. Look at me. Where the fuck is Wallace? Huh?
All right. Well, I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Sorry we went so long, but I mean, that was just the tip of the iceberg of some of the text messages and voicemails that we've gotten. And so we'll try to blend those in the next few days too, to try to get through everybody's comments and everybody that shot us their reaction or how they're feeling right now. But you can continue to do that at 331-979-1369. You can hit us up on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Tomorrow's show, special guest, somebody we've never had on the show before. And I'm pretty excited, Matt, a loyal Bulls fan, been a Bulls fan through and through from ESPN 1000. It's Sylvie from the Waddle and Sylvie Show. He'll be joining us on tomorrow's show. So get excited for that. This is perfect timing. We're in the midst of disaster, and I love to hear his comments. So make sure you check that episode out tomorrow.
Can't wait for that. Also, need to tell him he's got to give Fred a little less airtime.
C-Red Fred. Oh, man. I feel bad for C-Red Fred. This is a tough week for C-Red Fred.
You make your ridiculously optimistic bet. You lie in it, mister.
I feel bad for him.
Nothing but love for C-Red Fred. Nothing but love. But come on, man. What do you expect?
So we'll have Sylvie on the show for sure. Ask him about See Red Fred. I want to know when he first started calling the station, kind of the backstory on him. So we'll get some of that. We'll get his takes on the Bulls and Hoiberg and Boylan in the front office and all of that. So make sure to check that out tomorrow. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But That channel. We're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com